Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying God's will, the basis for life's decisions. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. What freedom will result? Finding God's will for life's decision. That's what we're talking about. What is God's design? Esther, we considered. It's all about understanding the specific purposes for which God created each person, each object, and each relationship in my life. Accepting His design brings self-acceptance. What's my responsibility? David was the one that we looked at, realizing that I am responsible to God for every one of my thoughts, every one of my words, every one of my actions, my attitudes, and my motives. And that I must clear up every past offense to God and man. A clear conscience is what I'm looking for. What is my responsibility? Who has authority over this? Daniel. We're talking about man's law and God's law. Recognizing that God works through human authorities to accomplish His work in the world and give me protection, direction, and provision, which brings about inward peace as I serve Him. What suffering is involved? Joseph, certainly. Learning to ask questions and obey the answers, which are all in God's Word. Forgive your offenders and accept suffering that God might accomplish His will in your life, that you may have genuine joy as you serve, even in suffering. How is God's ownership seen? Well, we look at Abraham, knowing that everything I have or will have is entrusted to me by the Lord to be used in ways that will please Him and advance His kingdom. This is a dedicated life, a surrendered, dedicated life. And so the question becomes now, what freedom will result? Look at the record of the fall. God created everything and created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, gave them responsibility over it, let them have everything that they wanted except for the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then along came Satan in the form of a serpent, and began to tempt, seduce the woman. And the man followed, and ultimately sin came into the world. But let's look at that record. What freedom will result? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God created a perfect world and gave its dominion to man. And man handed dominion over to Satan through a single act of disobedience, sin. God gave only one negative rule. The man focused his attention on the only thing that he couldn't have. Look at James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Satan knew just what button to push. And then the problem began. Look at Genesis chapter 3, the continuation, verses 9 down to 13. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The sin was already committed. The ground was given to Satan. Sin was committed. He ate the fruit. The guilt was covered with fig leaves. Responsibility was avoided. He hid from God. Blame was transferred. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the snake. God asked one question. Have you eaten? He didn't ask for excuses. Man has resisted accepting responsibility for disobedience from the garden right up until today. His plan is that we don't sin, disobey the truth of Scripture. But if we do, then 1 John 1:9 is promised. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What freedom will result? Well, the principle of freedom is enjoying the desire and the power to do what is right rather than claiming the privilege to do what I want. Adam surrendered the ground to Satan. Jesus Christ had to purchase back the ground lost. Christians continue to surrender ground to Satan by their sin. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says, "Nor give place to the devil." Our sin gives place, or ground, which is what that word is, tapas, to the devil. How is Satan able to keep the ground he gains control of? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. When we resist God's grace and don't seek forgiveness of sin, we allow Satan to control areas of our soul. As human beings, we're created as spirit, soul, and body. So let's look at this for a few moments. Our spirit, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit confirms that reality and fuels us for eternal life. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. So there's our spirit, is also our soul. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. As Christians, the soul is the battleground between God and Satan. Our soul continuously needs to be conquered. The promised land had enemy strongholds. ground is given over to Satan through sin, it must be taken back by God. Ground has strongholds of wrong thinking still standing there. They're pulled down by the truth of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our soul must be transformed by God's Word. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Satan was completely defeated at the cross. Satan's only authority comes by our sin. But Christ's authority can overcome Satan. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. So our spirit, our soul, our body. The physical is directly affected by what happens in the soul. The warning about the Lord's Supper is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 down to verse 30. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. God will not leave us alone. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. And then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw himself into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servants, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And listen, God will turn us over to the torturers in the same way. Look at the next verse, verse 35. So my heavenly Father will also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. Why? So that we will repent and seek God's mercy, and then show mercy to those who offend us. Let me paint an image. Let me paint an image in your mind to explain all this. Imagine your soul. Imagine your soul is like a chessboard laid out before you. Satan develops strongholds or fortresses, like little castles, on the ground that you've given him by your sin. More ground, more strongholds all over the place. There are three ways to give ground to Satan, and they're all in Ephesians chapter 4. But first, look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world, or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The ways that we give ground in our soul to Satan. Immorality, Ephesians 4:19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Greed, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, immorality, greed, and bitterness. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Listen, Satan was cast from heaven. Adam and Eve fell. Adam gave his dominion over to Satan through sin. We do the same thing in the same way. God allows, so just to recap that, just imagine your soul like a chessboard laid out before you. Satan develops strongholds or fortresses like little castles on the ground in your soul that you've given up to him by sin. More ground given, more strongholds are built. I mean, some people, so much sin, Satan has control of their soul to the point that there are so many fortresses and strongholds that it looks like a downtown city. There's three ways to give ground to Satan, and they're all there in Ephesians chapter 4. Through immorality, through greed, through bitterness. And then God allows the strongholds to then produce tormentors in our soul. Unresolved conflict in our soul will eventually affect our body. So just kind of take a review of the process of expanding strongholds. We must probe beneath the surface of sin to gain freedom. And then we need to know how to regain lost ground. Ask God to remind you of your sins committed and begin to take back all the lost ground. What freedom will result? Well, that is an important question because of the effect of sin. Will it stir up sensuality? Will it defraud? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Is it edifying? What freedom will result from this? If any, or will it be more damaging? You think about that. You think about those questions, and you have a great day.